I read a Reddit feed about how people wipe their butts after pooping, and it changed the way I do everything.
It changed the way you wiped your butt?
Yeah.
All right, welcome to Should We Get Married with Kylie and Kyle. Hey, thank you so much for listening and tuning in, if one tunes in on these podcasts, but thank you so much. And this is getting kind of broken record territory, but it really does mean a lot that you listen. And it means a lot when you reach out or comment on social media or our website and ask questions or texting. It's all really special to us.
Yeah, especially when we talk about wiping butts.
Well, we haven't talked about wiping butts, but we might talk about wiping butts soon.
Well, that's right now. How do you wipe your butt?
Well, first of all, I want to continue this thank you by saying the measure of you listening in and being a part of this small but scrappy community is really amazing to us. And please leave a review if you can. Tell a friend if you can. And leave a star rating on iTunes if you can. And yeah, I guess we're going to talk about wiping butts.
Yeah.
Wiping each other's butts.
Probably not for another 50 years.
It might come to that. If we're together in 50 years, I might have to wipe your butt.
I'm down.
Really?
Yeah.
You're saying that now? But
you've seen,
when it comes down to
everything it, you've needed to see at this point. So
that's true.
What's the diff?
You mean during our intimacies?
Yeah. Our intimacies.
I've seen some stuff. Yeah.
You've seen all the stuff.
I've seen all the stuff.
And I've seen all the stuff.
Okay. All right.
You know?
So
except for how you wipe your butt.
I didn't think...
It's one thing I don't see.
I mean, we were talking about this the other day, and...
Yeah, and I learned something.
We wipe our butts similarly. Yeah. Which is good, because I think there's better, more efficient ways to wipe my butt.
Yeah, and this came up because I came to you, and I said, why aren't there wet wipes in all bathrooms across America? At offices, at anywhere, because... The argument that I've heard from so many people on so many podcasts or like wherever is if you are changing a diaper and you get poop on, like slimy poop on your arm, are you going to go grab a dry paper towel and just wipe it off and go about your day? No. You're going to use water, soap, and like wipe that shit off. Mm-hmm. Completely. But we don't do that to our assholes. We just dry wipe with a bunch of like paper and call it a day. Someone's face could be down there later.
Well, I have an answer. It's for me. I don't need a wet wipe wherever I'm at, because I lick the toilet paper.
Oh my god, I think Salem just farted and it's so bad. Do you smell that?
No, I don't smell it.
Oh,
so that's what I do. And I learned, somebody told me that in high school, because I had the same issue. Like, dry toilet paper does not do the job. It just doesn't do the job. And I learned that early on. And somebody told me, oh yeah, I just spit into the toilet paper. And so that's what I do.
I want to know if that's, everyone does that. Is that a known thing? Because if I'm at work and I'm just sitting there like, wipe, 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 wipe. There's no fucking way that in the other three or four stalls, there's women sitting there doing that.
Oh my God. Well,
they'd be mortified.
I don't literally spit into it. I lick it to get really.
Wow.
This is so fucked up.
You just lap it up and just like, but do you make sure you don't get like little toilet paper particles back on your tongue?
Here's what I do. Okay. I'm a folder. I don't bunch it up. By the way, people who bunch up, I think those people are psychopaths. I think that is the worst way to wipe your ass, is to bunch up, ball up toilet paper. It's such an inefficient way to use the surface of the paper. Anyways.
Wait, you fold it neatly?
It's really easy to do. You just fold it in half, and then I lick it, and then I wipe my butt. This is grade A.
Yeah.
High quality content and conversation here.
But then
I fold again. I don't lick again because
Now
we have a compromised situation with the toilet paper. So I do not lick again. I wipe again though, because with every wet you need a dry. And then I discard.
Discard.
And by the way,
and start again.
What? Yeah, and then I mean as needed. Right? Because sometimes
you're good to go.
You're wiping forever. Sometimes you're good to go.
Sometimes you're surprised. It's like, oh, wow. Well,
that's a one wiper. Okay. Sweet. It's one wiper.
It's never a one wipe. Because you always have the second wipe to check.
Oh, you got to have a backup
wipe. You got to check wipe.
You have to have a backup wipe.
There's always a few checks.
I agree. But it's still a one wipe nonetheless. You've done a one wipe, but then you got to back up the...
I'll give that to you, yeah.
Well, so the arm thing... So toilet paper isn't anti, it's not...
antibacterial?
No. I mean, it's not, it doesn't have like, what's a hand sanitizer?
Antibacterial maybe?
So it doesn't kill germs. It's just wet wipes don't kill germs.
Oh, right.
So like the poop on the arm argument?
Yeah.
Like there's no, you're not cleaning the area. You're just wiping the area, no matter if it's wet or if it's dry.
Yeah, it's just cleaning it better.
So my argument to the arm, getting poop on your arm if you're changing a baby, what you said earlier.
Yeah.
Is your butthole. it's designed to carry a little bit of stuff on there.
You mean because of the wrinkles around the hole?
Yeah.
Like if you pucker your lips, it looks like this.
All right. Oh, okay. But that's how...
Are you saying it gets stuck in there?
That's how your body's designed to have a little bit of poopy in there. A little bit. Not like to the point to where you're doing skid marks on your underwear. Because that's the worst.
Oh, man. Yeah, but I read... What I learned on Reddit is that you can just, with the toilet paper, you just poke into the hole just a little and like do a little circular wipey. You got to get up in there a little bit. And it's like a whole nother layer.
That's new to me. I'm not. What?
We're not talking way up.
So
yeah, this person visually listed out the steps.
You poke up a little bit and do a slight circular motion.
Like when you think you're done wiping.
Yeah.
And the paper's getting clear. You got to do the fold again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe wet. If you prefer to lick your toilet paper, then lick it. And then when you're wiping, you just slip a little up there and do a circular motion.
So I do slip in like a little bit. Like there's no penetration, but it slips in a little bit. But I do not do a circular motion.
Humans are interesting. How fun is it that we do this and we know all of this shit, but then we want to put our dicks in the butthole, you know? Oh,
yeah.
Man.
There's something.
It's literally the opposite ends of the spectrum. Poop and then sex.
There's something about sex. It is a vastly complicated spectrum.
Oh, it's
some people like
dirty.
Some really hardcore stuff. Some people like, you know, really, you know, just regular, whatever you call it, regular.
Yeah.
Sex.
Should we have an explicit bonus episode to discuss some of that stuff? I don't want people to look me in the eye after discussing certain things.
Well, they're going to have to look us in the eye now after they know how we wipe our butts.
Yeah, but everyone wipes their butt.
Yeah,
that's
how do you wipe your butt? Because we haven't gotten into that, and I'm curious.
Oh, similarly, yeah. Except the whole thing came up because I started bringing wet wipes with me everywhere.
Well, do you lick your toilet paper?
If I need to. Yeah.
So, yes, but you do. Okay.
But I learned it not that long ago.
There's no shame in this.
It's so...
It's so...
Hilarious.
It's... Yeah, it is hilarious. It's... And it is embarrassing, but it's what everybody does. But it's a more efficient way to wipe your butt.
Yeah.
And then, are you a buncher or a folder?
Okay, it depends, because...
What do you mean it depends?
Well, because we have two different things to wipe.
Oh, so front wipers.
If you're just peeing real quick, like a little bunch is not a big deal. Mm. But you got to bunch it the right way. Like you have to bunch so that it's like it's significant enough, but it's also kind of flat and you're not going to obviously get anything on your hand. So
it's to facilitate a soak, right? Because if it's too flat, sort of. It won't soak as much, yeah. I guess, in my head. And if it's a little bunched... Then it will soak quicker and easier.
Yeah, there's not like that much there to soak.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
If someone were to call you a front wiper, would you get offended?
A front wiper? Is that back to front or front to back? Back to front?
No, it's when you're getting the pee part of the job.
I don't get...
Do you go in from the back when you're doing a number one?
No.
Okay, you go into the front.
Yeah.
Okay, front wiper.
Oh my God, do people do both?
I don't know. Well, so from what I hear, I've heard on other podcasts and other people have talked about how even dudes will go in from the front.
Yeah, to wipe their
butt.
And
wipe back to front.
That was, wasn't that Dax? Yeah.
Or maybe your mom's house or one of those.
Yeah, he holds all of his junk together and reaches down through the front to wipe his asshole. That seems like a stretch to me.
Well, it seems, I guess it's just kind of like learned behavior because that person must have just started that way and it's what they know how to do. But it doesn't seem efficient to me.
Front wiper, I think, means something different for girls.
It means your vagina. Like you're done with the number one.
Yeah.
And you're wiping the front.
If there's someone out there that's just taking a pee, that's a lady that wipes their vagina from the back, I want to know about it. It just seems like so much extra effort.
It's the long way around. Sometimes maybe she wants to take the scenic route.
But the more popular discussion is when wiping in the front, if you go front to back or back to front, because you're not supposed to mingle the poopy particles with the vagina.
Yeah, right. You don't want to do that.
But there's a way to, I mean, you can fucking wipe without getting your second hole. So it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
And then like, I don't remember where I heard this conversation, but imagine having to deal with wiping your vagina, making sure that's clean. What if maybe you took a messy dump and
blowing mud,
being on your period?
Oh, the trifecta.
The trifecta.
Oh my gosh.
And having to deal with that and two different types of fluids and like different techniques. It's a madhouse. No, I don't have to deal with that.
That sounds like a real barn burner. And I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know which way to go.
All the ladies listening know what's up.
Yeah, that's...
And guess what? We should talk about periods more. But yeah. This is for a different time, I guess.
Are periods something that are weird to talk about? I feel like it's just kind of like whatever now.
We are taught from a very young age to not talk about our periods and to be embarrassed when we get them and to be really quiet about...
Really?
Like, oh my God, I just watched Amy Schumer's special last night and she was making fun of it and it was so relatable because like when you have to ask for someone for a tampon in public, you have to like really like hide it and then you got to stick it up your sleeve and go to the bathroom. Or do you take your purse with you to the bathroom? People know you're going to go in there and change your tampon. It's a whole thing that we've always had to deal with and it's finally coming to the surface where it's like, oh, hey, guess what? We all do this thing and we... Yeah. Shouldn't be ashamed about it.
No shit.
And if you're uncomfortable, too bad.
Yeah, fuck them if they're uncomfortable. I've never really ever had a big thing about it. It's like, oh, you need...
you're open-minded.
Well, I don't know. It's just like it's never been... hush hush for me. It's like, oh, okay, well, you have to take care of something.
Yeah.
Go take care of it.
Well, it's more of a, it stems more from women, like ironically, because we are kind of, we grow up with that kind of a little bit sense of shame about it. And secrecy.
There should be zero shame about it. In fact, that should be something that's celebrated because you're becoming a woman. You're getting older. Your body's kind of like, here's a new thing.
Well, right. And I think times are way changing though from when I like was that age. But
yeah,
there's different methods now. Like people aren't walking around with huge pads on and not talking about it.
Right.
And some of our moms just didn't go into certain details for us. And I think now it's not that
what
way.
What do women usually use now? Is it, what's it called when it goes up in there?
Oh, the cup?
No. That's a tampon,
right?
Oh,
a tampon is a little, it's like a little tubular piece of cotton. And you stick it up there and it expands as it gets wet. But if you stick it up there the wrong way, you can't take it back out. It's cotton on.
And then you get
and it hurts and for then you hours can die. If you don't get it in there correctly. You can die if you keep it in too long. You get toxic shock syndrome.
That's so fucked up.
There's all kinds of things. So and then
so you put the tube in the tube
and you gotta hide the string if you're in a bathing suit and then it's just a mess.
Oh my god!
There's just so much that goes into it. It's like
the part where you can leave it in too long and then die from it.
Yeah.
Is and
not,
so scary.
And not realize what's happening just because you get really tired.
How long do you have to leave it in?
Well, it depends because there's all different sizes and then there's all different types of flows. So frequency depends on the person.
No, I mean, how long does it have to stay in there to get toxic shock syndrome?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it like weeks?
No. I think it is like as soon as 8 hours or some shit.
Shut up. Serious?
It doesn't mean it's always going to happen.
8 hours
and
it can happen?
It depends on like how much is absorbed and stuff.
Wow. But now, okay, so there's the tube in the tube, but then there's the pads too.
Yeah, I'm guessing that those don't happen much anymore, but there used to be like all thicknesses of pads, but...
It's kind of like a diaper situation.
Oh, yeah. And then like... sleeping at night is a whole different scenario. I remember there used to be like my mom had these. There used to be these ones that were like a foot long, so they would go normally where they would go and then like up the back of your butt crack because you could wake up in the morning with a whole massacre situation.
Yeah, and your sheet, you got to throw out your sheets.
Yeah, I guess. But now there are things like they have the underwear that are like super absorbent technology thing that you can wear instead.
So what's the best way to do it?
Well, I don't know. I haven't had a period in like 4 years or 5 years.
Because you got the IUD?
Yeah.
But if you were to get a period now, what would be your go-to
tampon.
Choice?
Tampon.
Tampon, okay.
Always.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good talk.
That's really interesting. That's really
that's just a tip of the iceberg, babe.
That's something I never have to deal with, and
it's sort of like us not understanding what it's like to have to deal with getting boners and wet dreams and stuff like that.
What?
But
no, that's
times a thousand.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that's not even close. That's so interesting and so crazy. And also,
well, and imagine, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Imagine having like to see a tampon for the first time. By seeing it, you don't understand how it works. So your mom better really explain how it works and all those little details to you. Otherwise, you have to figure it out all your own. And I kind of had to figure some of that out on my own.
Yeah. You got to just learn from the experience.
Yeah.
Because
how to put it in, like they'll tell you how to put it in, but there's a lot to learn there.
You got to navigate the tube.
Yeah.
With your tube.
Yeah. You have to understand how far to put it up and then when to click, like push it out.
Push it out.
That's how the tube works.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
But I think they make them now without the tube. So you can just stick your finger up there.
Here's the thing I didn't know until you explained it to me. I knew it, but I didn't know the full breadth of what I knew, which was you're not bleeding.
Yeah.
It is the placenta discharge.
Oh, super close. Really good.
I thought I nailed it.
The placenta is, that's when you give birth.
Okay.
But you are shedding your uterine lining.
Uterine lining.
Yeah. Yeah.
The uteritarian lion.
Utilitarian.
Okay, so yeah. It's not blood, but it is red.
Mm-hmm.
And but even women will joke, like, I'm bleeding out my vagina. But yeah. They know that it's their uterine lining. It's just common. Well, it's just a common saying now.
Yeah, and it is fluid. So it's, I mean, and it's bright red. So why not? Just...
Now, let me ask you this, because I need to know.
Okay.
And I've said this a few times, and it's time for me to apologize if you do take offense to it. Because we can kind of rib each other, go back and forth, and kind of be jokey, but does it offend you when I ask if you're on the reg?
Oh, I don't know if you've ever asked me that.
I have a couple of times.
Okay.
I don't
like
remember
way
it,
a long time
but
ago?
I feel like I have.
Well, I guess that's the confusing part. So even if you don't have a period, you still go through a cycle. And there's this amazing video that explains it. But there, your body and your mind and your emotions and everything goes through this cycle, even if you're not physically having a period. So that shit is real. Like the moodiness, the lethargic feeling, sadness, whatever it is, yeah. There's literally a time of the month for productivity and excitement and motivated mood versus like sad, depressed, emotional, whatever. And so I think you've probably asked me if it's that time, if you've noticed I've cried for 5 days in a row or something to like really, really little things. And no, that doesn't offend me because it's just a part of life.
Well, and that's kind of a harsh thing to say though, like, hey, you on the reg, but well, is it okay to ask you like, hey, this is getting into really touchy territory. I don't know how to even ask this question.
I know what you're, I think, getting at because it's okay for me if you asked me that, but if some dude at work asked me that,
sure.
Not okay.
Yeah, especially at work. You can't, there's laws against that.
The fine line is that if you are just asking me because you're curious, because you've noticed, versus are you justifying my feelings or emotions or behavior just because of this thing?
So if I'm associating your feelings with the thing, then yeah. That's offensive.
Like you're just on the rag, so your emotions basically don't mean anything.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Yeah.
You're justifying however I feel just because of this time of the month.
Yeah.
That's not really legit because all that stuff is real.
Let me ask you this, and this is a really touchy question and it's not a judgmental thing, but when you're in the middle of the cycle and are you capable of really rational, logical thought? I feel like the answer is yes, but
yes.
I already feel that way. I'm just curious what you have to say.
That's why it's really hard, I think, for men to understand, because even if we are, our senses are heightened and we're more emotional, look, it just like everyone, it depends on the person, because some people, regardless of period or not, are not very rational. So if you are a rational person and you're capable of thinking that way, just because your emotions are heightened or you're extra sad or whatever, it shouldn't change anything. But that person needs to be self-aware that they are that way at that time.
Yeah, the facts are that emotions get in the way of facts and logic, even for me, all the time. When I'm angry, I cannot come down to a point to where I'm having a rational respectful conversation. I am really focused on what I think should be the thing. This is just me.
Right, yeah.
And everybody deals with anger, or when I'm sad, or when I'm depressed, or when I'm anxious. All that stuff plays a huge role in subverting logic and rationale. Big time. Yeah. So that goes without saying. But I think, and I know that you are, and I know that when women are in the middle of their cycle and things are more sensitive than usual, right? I guess would be a fair way to say it. Or
yeah,
I don't know how to explain it.
Don't worry about offending it. I'm not. We're just talking.
I guess I just know that there's still you can still have a logical and rational and copacetic situation, yeah. But I guess it all comes down to self-awareness too.
It does. And some people get it way worse than others. Like you're probably lucky, 'cause I don't PMS very hard. I just like,
I'm so lucky to have you, honey. You're super rational. You're so logical.
Well, I just mean that my PMSing doesn't really affect me very much. Like I never got crazy angry or emotional or cramping even. Like some people get it really bad, and that really, really sucks.
Would it be fair to say that when somebody really goes off the rails in those moments, they're typically not a reasonable person to begin with?
I don't know. Like I don't feel like I can...
Like if you were really...
Label it.
Like if you were really... In those moments, to really have me hang on to every emotion you have, and I have to navigate and walk on eggshells, that would be because you are not a self-aware, reasonable person to begin with.
Hmm.
Because you do, I know you have, when you're in your cycle, you do acknowledge it. You'll acknowledge it.
Well, because I'll start to cry over something little and be like, I've noticed that it's been like this for 3 days. Because I really don't know. I have to guess, but.
It's really interesting to me, this whole thing.
I think everyone's different. That's the only thing I can say. I don't feel I can label it for anyone.
And by the way, I hear that men go through their cycles too. Like on a monthly, it's not very.
In a way, honestly, it has to do with like, it could get really hippy dippy, but the moon and like the, all kinds of outside factors, really.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about it, but like the moon and the fucking time of the year and and then humans in general have a cycle within themselves where you can dip into depression and then get out of it and then be happy and then kind of go back into like it. Yeah.
It's well, Washingtonians cycle. Have it on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. Seasonal affective disorder.
And that shit's real.
It's very real. I you know how I know it's real? Well, number one, I have I'm susceptible and I go through bouts of depression and anxiety and all kinds of stuff. And that's just me. But as a whole, after a bout of overcast and rainy and shitty weather or snow and we just had some sunshine and you feel the warmth and the smell changes and the sun feels differently than when it's cold, a whole new feeling comes into my body and my brain and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I've been missing.
Right.
And it's just like, I have like a new life force surging through my blood and I'm ready to like go, oh, well, fucking, I cannot wait for summer now.
It's so different. You walk outside first thing in the morning, the sun's coming up and you just kind of take a big breath and you're like happy to be out there.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, hey, man, shit isn't so bad.
It's not so bad.
And then in a month, it's going to be pouring and pouring and pouring for weeks. And then we're going to be like, fuck.
Yeah.
So depressing.
And I won't even realize it.
Yeah.
And then it'll get sunny again. I'll go, oh, what is this feeling I'm feeling? Yeah. It's glorious.
I got a feeling.
All right. Well.
Well, that was nice. We went from wiping buttholes to meaningful women PMS talk. That's cool.
Yeah. I hope I wanted to ask those questions because I'm just curious. I don't get to ask them a lot.
That's the whole point, is men don't really get to ask those questions in a normal setting, maybe to their partner, but that partner needs to be receptive to them. So, you know, you can ask me that anytime, but it's cool to talk about it on the podcast for sure.
Well, thank you for being receptive to my questions.
Thanks for asking them, because I think more people should know.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe understand it a little if they can.
Right. Yeah. And even if you were to tell me like, hey, this thing I go through and I just need a little extra grace or whatever, that's great too.
Yeah. And if you do go over the edge a little, like with emotion, or you get angry or you lash out and maybe feel bad about it, we don't have to apologize. I get that. But it's okay also to be like, I'm sorry. I know I've been moody. Like, just be aware of it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of feminists that'll be like, we don't fucking have to apologize for going, like, we can't help it.
Well, shit. They might not be in a relationship then. And not specific to, you know, periods.
Yeah.
It's just like, you got to apologize for things you're not sorry for in a relationship, in life.
That's true. Compromise.
And, We just finished Friends. I'm sorry, not Friends. The Office. We just finished The Office. Watching it again, I used to be frustrated. After Michael left, I used to think that the seasons weren't as good or weren't as meaningful. I totally think they are. I think the opposite of that. I think they're as impactful, if not more. And the Pam and Jim relationship at the end, and I'll try not to spoil this if you haven't watched The Office and you're wanting to watch it, but
dude, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, get on it. So that whole dynamic in the 9th season used to be really frustrating, and I thought was total nonsense.
But that's real.
But this year, after seeing it again, I kind of dig it. It kind of makes a lot of things line up perfectly.
Well, yeah, it's because it feels like a fairy tale. But even if you are very grateful and happy and have a wonderful relationship, shit gets hard.
And
that's
Pam,
the whole point.
And Pam was really frustrating.
She was being kind of a sucker.
And it just kind of works out in a way where it's really satisfying. And it was really cool.
I don't want to ruin it either. Actually, my friend texted me the other day and she said, I'm starting The Office for the first time.
But I will say, I have to say that season 7, the one where Michael goes, where Steve Carell, you know, he famously quits The Office, is my favorite one. And it's not people's first choice, but I love it.
I don't know if I agree, but it's so good. All of it.
Should we talk about Uncle Gary?
Yeah, today you are going to tell me and everyone the story of Uncle Gary, and I haven't heard the story in a while, so take it away. I'm excited.
So growing up, I didn't feel connected with my parents. I just didn't feel like I was heard. I didn't feel like I was pushed in a direction that I needed to be pushed in. And me at 36, the way I needed to be parented was really a lot of open-mindedness, a lot of communication, like I am now, and a lot of grace and growth in whatever path I want to take. And my parents did their best, and I love them very much, and I still love them. And I communicate with them, and there's all kinds of ups and downs, but we got through it, and we still do to this day. Family is not easy, but the one person that gave me all of that and gave me this hope was my Uncle Gary, and he was the one that I looked up to the most of anybody my entire life. From when I was a kid, he took care of me like, you know, your classic miracle uncle that is just the coolest, or maybe it's an auntie on the female side of things. I don't know. But for me, it was, my uncle was a man's man, and he had traits and a disposition that I really looked up to, and I wanted to be him. He took me to Mariners games. He bought me video games when my parents wouldn't buy me video games. And he did things, and he allowed me to be who I was in a way that really kind of cultivated my my aspirations and my my imagination. And my grandma and I, my dad's mom, we would take the train. He lived in Washington and Oregon his whole life. He's kind of always traveling around and whatnot. And my grandma and I would take the train down to Salem every year, which is, we'll get into how I named my dog too, because my dog's name is Salem. We'd take the train down every year when I was a kid. And we'd go down and just watch movies, and he would take me dirt bike riding and four-wheeling and, you know, all this, like, motor. He rode a motorcycle, and he was fit, and he wore the cool clothes, and he had a house, and we would just kind of, like, party. We would just have fun.
Mm-hmm. What a cool uncle.
Oh, man. He was the best. And
what, did he ever get married or have kids?
Yeah, he was married at this time when I was visiting him.
Okay.
With my grandma.
And this is...
He did not have kids. Oh, I'm sorry. That is totally wrong. He had kids, but we'll get into that.
And this is your mom's brother?
No, this is my dad's brother.
Okay. Man. I have never met Uncle Gary. I just talked to him on the phone.
Right. So... Yeah, the kids thing gets complicated because I was just thinking that the time my head's in when I was a kid, he didn't have kids yet.
Okay.
Okay, so fast forward a couple of years, and he moves up to Washington, and he gets into some trouble. He starts getting into some money troubles and stuff, and he takes off. And he basically just disappears when I was 13. I remember he was living at my parents' house. They took him in to get back on his feet. And I remember him walking out the door. I was coming home from school, and he had his motorcycle helmet in his right hand. And he was walking out, and he said, "See ya," or something like that. I had no idea he was leaving forever. But he walked past me, and I smiled at him, and I never saw him again. So all kinds of stories of why he left and everything. And
well, did he know how you felt about him at the time?
Yeah, of course. Okay. We loved each other as family.
Yeah.
Like, I really looked up to him, and he really took care of me, and he was a fantastic uncle.
So see ya.
Yeah. Come to find out, he wasn't the great on responsibilities and having relationships and being, you know, a respectful human being. I didn't know any of that because I was 13 when he left. So I was a kid. So all I saw was like the glorious.
Oh, yeah. We like put adults up on pedestals, yes. and we learn stuff when we get older.
And this is my first kind of abandonment thing. He left and never came back. And I remember some vague memories of my mom telling me that Uncle Gary left. He ran away or whatever. And so I grew up without him. From 13 to into my early 20s. And as you know, my history is I became addicted to drugs and alcohol at, I don't know, 16, 17, and really rode that into the ground really fast. I hit bottom really, really fast. And I was in jail and rehab for like 19 through 22, in and out. And then I finally got cleaned up at 24.
Yeah.
And I started kind of asking around, like, hey, is Uncle Gary still alive? I was asking my family and some friends, some old school friends and stuff. is Gary Jacobson still alive? And they said they weren't sure. They didn't know. And the last that they heard, he was in Salem, Oregon. Hmm. So I'm kind of living in recovery. I'm just trying to take care of myself, and I'm trying to get back up on my feet and live a better life. And I just didn't want to be what I was before, which was I was burning bridges. I was always lying to people, and I was just a wreck. And I'm kind of sugarcoating it, but I was a piece of shit, to be fair. And I got cleaned up. So I was learning how to live life's on life's terms, as they say. So
learning how to treat yourself and treat other people.
Yes.
And have relationships.
Yes. With kindness and respect. I had to learn how to do that stuff, because I lived a lifestyle that was the opposite of that. I just needed to get what was mine. You know, I was really selfish, very self-centered.
Yeah. As a side note, I feel like people understand that addiction and alcoholism is a thing, but they just think like, oh, he's addicted to something and then he'll get over it. Like, or when they do get over it, they get over it. But really it's self-medicating for some other reason. And that's what I think surface level average people don't understand.
Yeah.
Is that alcoholism isn't the drinking. It's like the underlying human issues within you.
Yeah. So actually using the drugs and alcohol is just the tip of the iceberg. So I was learning how to deal with all the rest of the iceberg underwater. Mm-hmm. I was learning who I was, really. And so a couple of years went by, and I got a couple of years of sobriety, which, by the way, I just turned 12 yeah. years clean and sober.
You did.
Which is really great. And I fucking can't believe I just turned 12.
It's
so amazing. And so I'm learning how to do that. And then a couple years in, I start asking the questions. Hey, what's going on? Is Gary around? Is he alive? I don't know. Nobody's heard a whisper from him in a long time. And there's some people who have. And I found those people, and they said that he's living somewhere in Salem.
Okay.
So in about 2 years clean and sober, I decided to go find him.
Cool.
And I can't believe nobody's tried. I think a lot of people, everybody was fed up with him. I feel like he burned those. I feel like he burned all the bridges. He burned them down.
A lot of lingering resentment and stuff.
Oh yeah. People were not happy with him and the things that he had done. And guess what? I can relate with that. One-to-one. I know what that is about, because that's what I did. And I had to clean up a lot of those things. Some things light, some things really heavy. And a lot of what I do is living amends. Mm-hmm. Just trying to be kind and respectful and to stay sober is what I can do best in a lot of situations. But anyways, so I knew where Gary had been, and I know where he could go next. And I wanted to find him. And so I took off. Yeah. I was living with my such good friend Marita in her house. Mm-hmm. And I miss her so much. And we've been talking on the social medias, yeah. And she's doing pretty good, and I hope we can connect one of these days. But I was living there.
Hi Marita.
Hey Marita. And I left. I packed a bag, and I was like, I'm going to go find him, whatever it takes. So I went to Salem, and I went to the precinct, the local precinct, and I pulled up his rap sheet. And it was really easy to do. And this whole time I'm thinking like, man, if I ever become a private investigator, I'd be pretty good at it.
Oh my God.
I was willing to go to the depths.
Yeah.
You're on an adventure. My mindset, I was willing to go into the darkest corners of society to find him.
That's cool.
I was ready.
You didn't have any other shit to worry about but that. That was your mission.
That was my mission. I didn't know if I was going to have to pay off somebody to find the information to do this. And I did not know how, if I was going to need to go to like the homeless row, whatever the tenderloin is of Portland, to ask questions and to bribe and to communicate with that, or what police officers I would need to find, or what first responders I would need to talk to in order to find Gary. I had no idea, but I was willing to do all of it. My mission was set. I'm ready to go. So I pull his rap sheet and his last known address. I go and knock on the door, and this lady answers the door, and I go, okay, well, he's probably not here. But I go, hey, I am Kyle Jacobson, and I'm here to see if Gary's home, if Gary's here. And she pumped the brakes really fast. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't sure who was asking, who this kid was. So I was like, I was 25 or 26. I was 26. And she didn't know. So she was kind of, you know, she was protecting the nest. And I said, I'm his nephew, and we haven't seen him in a long time. And I'd love to know if he lives here and if I could say hi. And she immediately turned and her eyes kind of dilated, and she had that look of that he was home. And she said, Gary lives here. He just stepped out and he'll be back. Do you mind waiting? I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to meet you. Come on in.
Wow.
So I come in there, and they don't have cell phones. This is 12 years ago. So cell phones were they were there, but it's not nothing like we have now. So a lot of people still didn't even have cell phones. And he comes back, or I'm talking with his girlfriend, and she's sweet. She's amazing. And, we're just having this conversation, and we're looking at their record collection and stuff like that. And then Gary comes home, and he looks at me. He has sunglasses on, long hair. And he looks at me, and we had this moment, and we didn't say anything. And I said, hey, it's Kyle. And he goes, nephew. And we just hugged, and some tears, and he just started saying, I love you, man. Oh my gosh. I love you so much. I can't believe you're here. And it was a big surprise to him. And it was, you know, there's some awkwardness, but it was a lot of love. And we just started talking right then and there. We just started getting into everything and didn't skip a beat from when I was 13. And I had quit smoking for like 6 months, but he's like, hey, do you want a cigarette? And I just started chain smoking with him, and we went out, and he needed to go have a drink. So we went out to a bar, and we just talked the whole night, hours and hours and hours.
Wow.
And then I got a hotel room, stayed the night there. And then the next day we walked around Salem with his girlfriend and just had like a walk, you know, when you're hanging, you go and meet family. We just walked and talked, and he would point out, here's some, you know, local geography stuff and local building stuff. And in between, you know, like the tour of downtown Salem, we would talk about life, and we would talk about what's been going on and how's it been. And then, it was incredible and it was amazing. And I left the next day.
Wow.
And I came home. And then by whatever reason, I didn't keep smoking, on a side note, which was weird. I just chain smoked that night and I didn't smoke again. And I had this feeling of, I found him.
Yeah.
This story does not stop here. The next year, I stay in contact with him.
Yeah.
And I don't think he reaches out to his family until I see him again. I can't remember, but the next reason I went and saw him, because he has two kids and some family up here. And I wanted to tell him the next time I went and saw him, I wanted to get to the next part of the reason why I wanted to find him, which is, you have some life to live and you have some people to connect with. And so I went down again. I stayed in contact with him. And the next time I went down with him, I wasn't sure when I was going. And at the same time, I had adoption papers out through several different dog, what do you call them?
Rescues,
yes. And I was like, well, I might get a dog, I might not. So we'll see what happens. And this one rescue, the Motley Crue rescue, they're still happening over in Redmond on the east side. Yeah. And they said, hey, you have a dog here waiting for you if you want one. I said, cool. Which, by the way, rescuing a dog through these rescues, it's a process. You have to have applications and have to come and do meet and greets. It's kind of like...
Some of them need to see your house.
Yeah. And so I said, well, I really want a pup. So I, instead of going to see my Uncle Gary that weekend in Salem, I named Salem, and I got him. But I went and saw him a weekend or two later, and I went down there and I said, here's why I'm here. It's amazing to see you, and I love you so much, and this has been an incredible ride, and but there's some things to clean up, and at the very least, from me to you as your nephew, I'd like you to call your brother my dad. I'd like to call your mom, and I'd like you to, I know this one's heavy business, and I'd like you to consider calling your daughters. And he kept in touch. I left that time, and that was an amazing visit, as well as another overnighter. And he called his brother. He called my dad, Fred. And that was good. It wasn't easy for them, but it was good. And then he called his mom. And again, not easy, but it was good. And he kept in touch. And he called me. He would call me, kept in touch for years with them. And then he would call me every Christmas, call me on Christmas. And I don't know if he ever got in touch with his kids, but I hope he did. There's a spot in my heart where I hope he did. And here's the part where I am now, is I don't know if he's alive again. I haven't heard from him in years.
Oh, really? I didn't know this.
Yeah, and none of the numbers that I have work anymore.
Oh, shit.
So, I think I need to go find him again.
I was going to say, why haven't we gone to visit him? I'd love to meet him.
Yeah.
But you may need to go find him again.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So that's the story of my Uncle Gary, and it's a real twisty one, but it is a beautiful story.
It is a beautiful story.
If anybody out there has family that they don't know where they're at, and there's all kinds of things why people are mad at them, even you, even me, for Gary, for leaving, set it all aside and go with love and service. And just be there, because life is fucking short, man. It is short, and it's worthwhile to dig deep and go to the ends of the earth, even if it's just to say, I love you and I miss you. That's it. So, and I'm really proud of that. That's one of the things I hang on my wall for doing, and I'll do it for anybody who I need to do it for. It's something that I had never done before at the time, and I've done that for other people since, because in recovery, sometimes you have to do that kind of work.
Well, yeah, you reached out to someone and showed them you love them, but also it was a personal journey for you.
Yeah.
And you probably learned a lot.
Yeah. So that's...
Oh, thanks for sharing that. I don't know if I ever heard it in that much detail.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to him. In fact, he called like 3 years ago or something on Christmas, and you let us talk on the phone.
Yeah.
He was so sweet.
Yeah, he's a character.
I felt like I knew him. Yeah. Like, he just was really warming.
Yeah, he has that ability, and I think I have a small part of that within me, and I learned it when I was really young. I learned how to just kind of be a buddy. I learned how to be a buddy from him.
That's cool.
To just be a friend.
Well, and your dad has that sweetness in him too.
Yeah.
Like, he's really just kind of just sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That makes me think of my aunt and uncle who moved to Windmill Aunt. They
yes.
moved away. They moved to Pennsylvania, and some of us feel like we may never see them again.
Yeah.
But they're the ones I saw the most growing up and like know me, and I feel like we might have to go to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm down. The best way to do that is just to go and hang and not bring in like the drama stuff.
Right.
And just like to be there. Just to be right. there. Go out to dinner and watch yeah. a movie and, you know,
history and love there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, man.
Well, I support you if you want to go on an adventure to find your uncle again.
Thanks, Honey Bee. I'm hoping I can get a hold of him on a phone number again. I'm hoping I can kind of tap into that network because you kind of have to get a hold of him through people that you know or mm-hmm. through kind of like hearsay and this person knows this person type of stuff.
That's a rare thing to have to do nowadays. Like, we're all connected with the press of a button across the world.
Yeah.
We can see what people are doing on social media. We can text them, but
a lot of people live under the radar.
Some people mm-hmm. are disconnected, and then a lot of people wouldn't even know how to go about finding someone. So it's very interesting to me, and makes things extra special.
Yeah. Man, it is cold in here.
Babe. That is not...
Do you feel it?
Our slogan.
It's just kind of chilly.
It is cold.
We need to turn the heat up.
Yeah. God damn it.
Man, it's cold outside, but it's hot in your butt.
Me likey. Me no likey. Okay, it's been several episodes since we did a Me Likey, Me No Likey. I'm so excited.
Surprise.
Kyle really had to think extra hard about things he doesn't like about me.
It's kind of true. I needed to jot down.
Jot.
Some notes.
Well, you have a history of just bringing up embarrassing things that I do instead of actual like habits that affect our relationship, just as a cautious reminder for you for whatever you're about to say.
Just know that my name is Kyle the Rule Breaker Jacobson.
Okay.
Because this one's going to be a real doozy.
Okay. Well, so great.
Hold on to your butt, because it's going to be a wild ride.
Okay. Is that a hint?
No.
All right.
You want to go first? Why don't you go first?
Let me remind people that Me Likey, Me No Likey okay. is a safe space.
It's a segment.
Safe space segment where Kyle and I are both, we both have the freedom to share something about the other that we cannot stand and something that we absolutely love that the other person does consistently. And we encourage you to do the same, because it's, you kind of learn new things and get to share things without taking it personally. And I really appreciate it. So do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okie dokie.
Because mine's going to really top it off.
Okay, bad news first. And I've been waiting to talk about this because it's super petty. It's very small. But it might anger me the most out of anything I've shared.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. But it's super... It's sort of... You shared last time that you dated a girl that her pet peeve was leaving cabinet doors open.
Yeah.
Which... Mm-hmm. Now that I think of it, would be really annoying.
Yeah, no, I agree it's annoying, but okay. It was well, right out of the gate.
This is the same level of pettiness.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
I fucking can't stand it when you walk right past the garbage can and like put shit in the sink or on the counter, and we have to go back later to throw it away. Let me elaborate here.
Hang on. Haven't you already talked about this one?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. It's specific to paper towels, because if you are cooking or cleaning or something, you'll use the paper towels. And instead of reaching over here to the left to throw the paper towel in the garbage where it belongs, you'll reach over here to the right, same distance, and put it in the kitchen sink. and then we'll just like use the sink and dishes will pile up. And later when I go to do the dishes, there's a wet paper towel in there and I have to touch it and wring it out and walk across the kitchen all the way to go throw it away. Have I talked about this already?
Oh yeah. You've brought it up several times.
Okay.
But well, not on the segment. I don't think
I'll take it a step further.
Uh-oh.
When we're eating out here on the table or on the couch and there's like scraps of food and dirty napkin and whatever on the plate. And then you'll get up to go bring our dishes and you're like, I'll take that for you. And I say, oh, thanks, honey. I'll watch you walk into the kitchen and you'll walk right past the garbage where you should dump all the food scraps and the dirty stuff out before putting the dishes in the sink. But you'll walk it all the way to the sink and you'll dump it all in there. And then later I have to fucking take care of all the shit and throw it all away. Whereas you were doing me a favor before, but really it's not.
Wait, sometimes you have to do it. We share the dishes. And in fact, I would argue that I do a little bit more dishes than you do throughout the week. Like, I think it's like 55,
that
45,
may or may
maybe
not be
60,
true.
40.
Yeah, you're home more often, for one, and you like to get up and do dishes first thing in the morning, and I like to do dishes last thing before bed.
Oh, okay.
So if...
That's a good observation there.
Yeah, like all if right. We happen to have dishes in there in the morning, you probably end up doing more, and so thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for doing them at the end of the night.
But I stand by the whole garbage thing.
Okay. I will evaluate my... Here's what I'll do.
Why do you do it?
It's just efficiency. And hang on a second. There's times where I don't want to do the work. And then I'll do it later.
Wait. Okay. But you're walking right past the garbage. Why don't you just go dunk, dunk?
Yeah, but the garbage is like 10 feet away. It's
no.
Like four steps.
You walk into the kitchen. You have to walk through this doorway. And the garbage is right there.
Yeah, but... Can you try and relate here where you can just set the thing down and come back and do watch the TV or play the game or whatever we're doing? I can just set it down, do it in the morning or do it later.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Okay, well, that's okay.
Well, like where we're different, and I think maybe a lot of female-male differences is you can do things along the way, like throughout time, or you can do things once they build up. So like you can just set your dirty dish in the dishwasher every time you have a dirty dish so that you can continue to use the sink, or we can allow the sink to pile up until it's unusable and then have to do all the dishes at once. Same goes for like cleaning the house and just keeping things tidy. I think I've had a lot of conversations that men and women just... Their brains are a little different about it.
You got to stop with the generalizations because there's
so many. I've had conversations with like several women.
Yeah, but that's anecdotal stuff. I would say, here's my argument, is there's plenty of things that you do where it builds up and then you take care of it.
It's
where,
true.
And then I'll do the thing along the way. So I think you can't separate genders
here. Well, I just want them to be about the ones things that I want them to be about.
Okay, well, thank you for speaking your truth. I hear you.
Don't push me along.
I will evaluate my behavior and see if I need to fix anything.
Okay, because it's gotten to a point where you're like, I'll take that dish. And I was like, I got it.
Okay. This is a long episode.
Well, here's my me likey.
All right.
Me likey, the fact that you're a musician, a very, very talented musician. You have a beautiful singing voice and you're very good at playing the guitar and doing it all together. And I feel very lucky that I get to hear you play in the other room and in our house and enjoy the music and witness you from beginning to end, like write a song and work through the chords and everything. Not a lot of people get to say they can do that. And it's really special.
Thanks, honeybee.
Yeah. And I love listening to your music. It's really good.
Took me a while to get used to having someone else in the room while I was writing, or someone else within earshot rather.
Mm.
Because it's really Because while I'm writing a melody or while I'm writing a song, there's all kinds of off tunes and weird stuff coming out of my mouth and on the guitar and making mistakes and fumbling along the songwriting path. So it's really a vulnerable state for me. And I learn how to do it by myself alone. And that's what I still prefer. But we have a small house. We have always had a small house. And I learned a little bit of how to do this in my past relationship, but I'm mostly with you. And so it means a lot that you say that. And it's still not easy. But
interesting.
I'm glad you enjoy it because it's tough for me to open up like that. When the song's finished, bring it on, you know. It's done, or it's close anyways. But while I'm figuring out things, it's like I'm filleted open. It's like talking about something really tough, personally really tough. It feels the same way.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because you kind of exude confidence when you're playing and when you're in that zone. And I learned to, like, I don't walk up and bug you while you're in that zone.
Yeah, well, I do have confidence, but mostly that's just like I have to rip off the Band-Aid and play this melody that's in my head, or figure this thing out that I want to figure out in the moment, because you're here and I'm here, and I'm either not going to do it or I'm going to do it. It's one or the other, so I got to go in there with.
Most of the time when you're doing that, I don't, like, I might be putzing around the house, but I'll stop and I'll take a seat in this room and just listen.
Oh, really?
Quietly.
Well, that kind of makes it worse.
Enjoy it. Does it?
No, I'm kidding. Well, that's really
sweet. I don't want to turn the TV on or, like, do anything, and it's really special.
No, I do appreciate that. You do have a level of respect that is something that I really cherish about it, where you don't turn on the TV, where you don't turn on the vacuum or whatever. That is really important, because even though I'm a nobody in the music space. I've had some splashes of something, but I'm a nobody. But even still, you still respect my talents in a way that is really incredible. And thank you so much.
The opposite of a nobody to me.
Yeah. All right. Here's my me likey, no likey. And are you ready for this? Because it's going to be a real sizzling Dixie.
Let's not worry about how long the episode is.
Okay. All right.
Or maybe we should.
I'm going to go with a me likey, because you started taking the bad news first from me. And I'm going to wild card this bitch. Me likey. Oh, first I want to make an addendum to one of my last me likeys, which is you're not a dirtbag. And I want to say that, yes, you keep it clean, keep it tight, and you keep it clean. But you also can and be okay with being a dirtbag, like camping, like it's not a big deal to be dirty, feel dirty. So that's really great. So I just want to make an addendum there from the past one. All right. Here's my me likey. You can hang.
Your me likeys are so big.
You can hang with the best of them and the worst of them. You can be there in a gathering of men or a gathering of women. You can connect with different people, shapes, sizes, mindsets. And you can connect with people who are all like-minded. And you can facilitate a conversation within that. And I think that's really smart and really super cool and casual and also really attractive to me.
Oh, wow. That's really nice of you to say.
Do you know that about yourself, though?
I've always felt like I could hang with the guys. I've had a lot of guy friends, which some people can't do, but God, some of those scenarios you just listed, my insides are all twisted up and I'm just thinking about how awkward I am or whatever. So it's good to know that it doesn't always come up that way. I can be really socially awkward, or I can be not that. It just depends on the situation and my mood.
Yeah.
But thanks for saying that.
Yeah. No, you have confidence. You can really hang. You can step up.
Thanks, honey.
Okay. Here's my me no lucky. Uh-oh. When we're driving.
Okay.
And you're driving. When you're driving. When you are driving. And you need to switch lanes.
What are you saying?
Here's what happens. Sometimes you don't go with the speed of traffic that you're merging into, which is frustrating, but here's the worst part of it all. Is you turn on your blinker at the last second, you turn into the lane. It's not on before, nobody knows you're turning, and you just go click, click, boom, and you're over in the lane.
Gotta get shit done.
No. Yes, you do. So you let people know. You need to communicate with the other drivers about where you're going.
And I've already made the decision. I'm doing it. It's done.
It's to the last minute and people don't know you're getting into their lane because you click and turn at the same time. Click turn.
You've never brought this up.
I know. Last time I brought up some stuff, we got in arguments for a couple of weeks. So I'm waiting for the safe space of the me like you know like you to talk about it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you were just picking on me at the time.
That's what you could argue. That's what this is.
Yeah, but if it really bothers you and you've thought about it multiple times, then it's legit to bring up.
Okay. Well, there it is.
Okay. I may or may not work on that.
All right.
So thanks for bringing it up. I feel like I'm a pretty good driver. Just going to add that in there, and that other people don't know how to merge. So.
Okay. Well, you know, some self-awareness would be good. And also, you know, if you want us to survive life itself, maybe turn the blinker on.
Or are you worried when I drive? Like, are you looking over your shoulder because you're concerned?
Here's what I love about your driving. A bonus, me likey, is you don't tailgate.
Oh, okay.
All right. Just fold this other one in there, and I think you're solid.
Okay. I will use my blinker earlier.
Okay.
I'll try to remember that.
All right.
Thanks.
Man, this is a long one.
It's a longie.
Thanks for listening. Wait, hey, what are we talking about on our next one? Do we have anything?
Oh.
I don't think we have anything.
I have an idea.
All right. Bring it on.
Let's talk about common law marriage.
Oh, yes. Good call. Because
we want to know how it works. So we kind of have some research to do because we may be close, actually.
We might be close. I think it's 7 years living in the same house, but I don't know how that works.
Yeah. And we want to know, like, what are the benefits? What do you have to do anything? So we'll talk all about that.
So on the next episode of Should We Get Married, we're going to talk about common law marriage and what that means for us.
And do we want to get common law married?
Oh, shit. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.